Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone. Panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
What's great? What's garbage? Everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
It is Video Games Weekly, back off a one-week hiatus. I am Paul Charchian, my co-host as always, Reiner. Hello.
What up, Charch?
No show next week, but the week after that will be the big Red Dead show.
Yes.
Very excited
Red
for
Dead
that.
Red Dead is this Friday.
It's the release is this Friday. No.
Yeah.
Is it?
I believe so.
Is it this Friday?
Yeah.
Wow. It's coming up so quickly. Now, I have just an inkling this thing is going to be a massive, massive seller. Now, I don't mean, and obviously it's going to be big. So within the spectrum of big, I want to believe that it's going to be GTA big.
You're saying that the creator of the largest, best-selling game of all time.
Yes.
Is going to make a game that's going to sell a lot of copies. That's your hot take.
I know. That is really hot, isn't it? Okay, let's put it on this. All right, let's put it into this. Let's frame it up this way.
Sure.
I think it's going to sell like GTA.
I don't know if it will be that high. I think the Western kind of concept of it
puts it
into more of a niche audience.
You think so? But can I flip that over and say it's so refreshing because it is a Western?
Yes, but it doesn't have the appeal of Grand Theft Auto, of cars and all that
because
stuff.
Because I'm not shooting hookers in the face.
I think you could still do that in the West.
Well, yeah, I suppose I could, but the game isn't built around that mechanic. I don't know. I want to believe that. And I think you're underestimating the savvy of the audience out there. I think you're underestimating how beloved the first one was. I think you're underestimating how many people had never bought the first one, but have been hearing for 6 years from other people about how great the first one was. I don't know. Feels like just a massive, it feel like there's this massive head of steam for Red Dead 2.
People have been like upgrading their cars in Grand Theft Auto Online for like a decade, putting hydraulics on them.
Yes.
You know, neon underneath. You can't do that with a horse. It's just a horse, man.
You can upgrade the hooves. The saddle.
Hydraulics.
The hydraulics. Yeah, that's right. They do have a wide variety of horses, right?
Yes.
So if you want to have, like pack mule style horse, this big lumbering horse that can carry a lot of stuff, then you have to give up speed or whatever.
Maybe.
Right? Because at least that's what that is my understanding in this game. And I think it's going to review very well. And I think it will be, you know, which is safe because Rockstar Games always do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, great reviews will help propel Red Dead. I think it's going to be, I'm not ready to go best week in the history of video games sales wise, but I bet it's in the general vicinity.
They always make great games. We could say that much, right?
Rockstar always makes.
They continue with Red Dead Redemption 2 out Friday.
Out Friday, yes.
Only on PlayStation 4 and Xbox.
Yeah, no PC support
and no.
And they've said it's not coming, but I want to believe that 3 years from now it'll be out.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 5 eventually came to PC.
It did.
Red Dead Redemption 1 never did.
No.
So who knows?
But they weren't doing anything PC back then either, I don't think.
No, not much. That's a puzzling one.
Do we have any reason to know if Red Dead will be better on either console or if it will be effectively identical?
I would assume it's going to be identical, but you can't rule out like the horsepower of Xbox One X.
Yeah, right.
If they're going to do anything special with
that. What are you going to play it on?
X.
The Xbox One X.
Yes.
You're going to try to get every last bit of graphical fidelity out of it.
And just achievements. I'm addicted to achievements.
Oh, there is that. Just tell people your achievement score.
Over 300,000.
300,000.
350,000, yeah.
I'm like 1/20th of that. It's embarrassing.
No, that's about right.
Yeah, it is. That is actually about right, come to think of it. I want to dive in. You were able to spend 3 hours playing Fallout 76.
Yeah, and I did it in West Virginia, which is...
Which is perfect.
Yeah, I didn't have to do
quasi
that.
Quasi-perfect. Yeah. Well, what do you mean? You could have done it anywhere?
Well, it was a press event held by Bethesda in West Virginia.
In West Virginia, so you couldn't have done it anywhere.
Because the game is set in West Virginia.
Right, that makes sense. Now, they didn't actually drop a nuke anywhere in West Virginia.
No, but I did go into a bomb shelter.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, until they closed the door on us.
Really? Did you get claustrophobic? I've never been in one. Really?
Yeah. This is one Eisenhower built during, like, kind of the height of the Cold War, or when it just started brewing.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, you know, they might drop nukes on us. We need somewhere to send Congress. So they built this congressional bomb
shelter. In West Virginia?
On the Greenbrier Hotel. So they said they were expanding the hotel by adding on another wing.
Okay.
But secretly, they were also putting in a bomb shelter into the hillside there.
Wow.
So it's funny because they have, like, the Greenbrier, if you've ever been, has the craziest, like, decor. Like, the colors, and it's everything's floral, and it just looks odd. Well, they had the same lady that designed all that stuff for the interior of the hotel also designed the bomb shelter because it was a secret. She didn't know she was designing this bomb shelter.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't look like one you would expect. It's very colorful and cheery.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. When you get past those showers where you're washing off the radiation.
Other than that, I thought this was interesting. And I want to dive into the mechanics of Fallout 76 in a second. But today, at the start of the beta test for Fallout 76 on Xbox One, which has just went down, I think in the last 2 hours.
Yeah.
It just started.
Yeah.
If you're an Xbox One order, you can jump into the beta. By the way, the PC and the PS4 beta starts in 1 week. Bethesda today basically issued a statement effectively pre-apologizing for bugs and basically saying, well, this is all new to us and there's going to be problems and we appreciate your patience. I don't remember anybody ever doing that before.
No, I have not seen an apology up front like, we know our game's broken.
Right.
I mean, this is the company that released Skyrim. One of the greatest RPGs of all time, but remember what happened at launch.
Oh, the PS3 version was a disaster.
Yeah, and even on 360 and PC, it's like you look up in the sky and you see your first majestic dragon, and it's flying backwards. And it's not a talented dragon. It's a broken dragon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for them to enter the online space for the first time, you know, they have Elder Scrolls Online. They don't develop that. This is Bethesda Game Studios, the studios that build the Elder Scrolls titles and the core Fallout titles, you know, like Skyrim and Morrowind, not the online stuff.
Yeah, right.
So for them to go into the online space, they're doing something new.
And they're taking their old engine with them on this one.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's
upgraded, kind of.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they're tweaking that engine all the time, but it was never built for multiplayer.
No.
So we'll see. See, what I find unusual is that this beta is so close to the launch. Fallout 76 comes out in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know how much this beta, you know, I don't what if this thing turns out to be horribly broken?
I'm surprised.
Then what?
I'm surprised they didn't say this is like the pre-beta and then the actual release date is the beta, because Fortnite's 2 years old and it's still a beta.
Yeah, technically, whatever. But
whatever. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, they only have a month to fix this before they say their game is launch ready.
I guess. They have 3 weeks or so. If, you know, let's say this beta for Fallout 76 goes badly. Lots of bugs. As they are pre-apologizing for it, then what?
You got to delay it.
Yeah, but can you? They've got TV ads bought, right? And, you know, there's so many. You can't just delay a AAA title. You can't. So I don't know. This is... I'll say this much. Yes.
The bomb shelter alarm is blaring. That red light is flashing right now because red alert on this one. Like, seriously, like, I played that at that event.
Yeah.
And it was buggy. The frame rate was slowing down. And I had some serious issues and concerns about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I walked away just not knowing if, you know, there's definitely fun to be had.
Yeah.
In Fallout 76. But I did not know if this would be a game I would keep going back to. And that's a big thing to say for a game, you know, for a series of games that you always spend over 100 hours in it.
Right. Yeah.
And when I'm kind of iffy just getting my feet wet.
Right. So
that's,
you went
at
3 hours of every other Fallout game, every other one, you're enraptured by that game.
And
can't wait to keep going.
You just want to keep building your character, exploring the world, making choices.
Yeah.
But
you played it for 3 hours and
yeah, I was like, I had fun with friends, and I don't know about this world, and I don't know about this design or the gameplay.
Okay. Well, you know, it's all open. It might end up being great, or maybe Fallout 76 is going to be one of the biggest disappointments of the year.
It could be possible.
I want to quote a couple of quotes from your article. You wrote a full article on GameInformer.com, which I encourage people to read. Here's a quote directly from it. As interesting as West Virginia appears to be from an exploration standpoint, it feels somewhat lifeless. What did you mean?
So just to get a little story set up here first, this is a prequel game. The bombs fell like...
Prequel to Fallout 4.
To the whole series.
To the whole series. Oh, okay. All right.
So the bombs fell, West Virginia, everybody was wiped out. You are the first to emerge from Vault 76. The name of the game is Fallout 76.
Yep.
It's not the 76th entry in the series.
No, and it's not 1976.
Yeah, so you come out, and it's very much like The Walking Dead in that you're a group of survivors, but everybody else is dead. So that's where the world...
So are there corpses all over the place?
There are, yeah. And it's weird because, like, you'll go to the Greenbrier, which has a golf course, and it's still well manicured, and there's still golf balls on the tees and stuff like that.
Wow,
and you're like,
okay,
I guess there wasn't anyone here.
Yeah, right.
In, like, 70 years.
Yeah.
So you're walking around, and there are no humans there at all to converse with. No NPCs. And this is something that the Fallout series has done very well. You'll go into a new area. You don't know, you know, if it's going to be overrun with ghouls or mutants or anything like that. But then you kind of, like, are put at ease when you see someone standing there. And you go up and you talk to him, and you start learning about that area, who this person is, you know, how he's connected to that area, and that's world building.
Yeah.
You don't have any of that in Fallout 76.
Mm.
It's just you, the world, and you have environmental storytelling. So you're seeing, like you just said, the corpses.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this person definitely died from a nuke, or this person was killed by a super mutant with an axe or something. And you also get documents. Now, here's a big problem.
What do you mean documents?
In the world in the gameplay design, you'll pick up pieces of paper that will have story on it.
Right.
So that's where you start learning about it. Or you'll get audio recordings, and they'll start playing the story for you. You know, so you're starting to piece it together.
Yeah.
But the problem is that works for a single-player game like BioShock, where you could sit and soak it in as you walk around and explore. In Fallout 76, you're in a party of people. They're all communicating.
They're all talking.
So I could be like, hey, Chart, shut up for a minute. I'm listening to an audio document. Or, hey, guys, don't go into that basement yet. I need to read this piece of paper.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. But that is the design of this game.
Mm.
That's what they want you to do to soak up the lore. So a lot of what we were doing, I wasn't taking the time to do that stuff. So we'd take on missions. I'd kind of get the description of what it is. And then we'd just complete it. Like, there was no context or anything to it. It was just like, go get this thing, or we activated something that turned something on. I don't even know what happened.
And yeah.
So that's a serious concern. And in feeling lifeless, you know, yes, there are a lot of enemies and mutated deer and stuff. Like, the world still is alive to a degree.
Yeah.
But it just feels like something is missing through the whole experience. Like, there are no characters. It's just you and your friends. You know, and they're not role-playing.
If I want to see if I understood what you said about Fallout 76 correctly here, there's almost no living humans in the game other than the NPC, the other players that are in it. There are no real NPCs in the game.
Bethesda is rolling the dice on human players filling that gap.
But I can't propel a storyline forward.
No,
I don't know the story.
And this isn't like an MMO where you're going to have hundreds of players everywhere.
Right.
The world is four times larger than any Fallout before it. So it's the biggest world they've designed.
So how many of us are in it at once?
Servers can have around 24 players on them.
I'll never see anybody.
Exactly. So they want those chances to be rare. Like, if you hear a gunshot off in the distance, that's going to freak you out.
Yeah.
And you're going to go explore it, and maybe you'll stumble upon someone. But at the same time, I could have an eight-hour play session where my friends aren't online, and I could never see anyone, and that could just be me in this kind of dead world.
Yeah.
And just doing quests within it.
Well, the part of me that really wanted the next Fallout to be single player anyway kind of likes that I'm not going to be surrounded by other people. But then again, there's no NPCs in it. There's no other people at all. This is going to feel like a weirdly solitary experience, I think.
Yeah, and that's the design. That's by that's what they want from us is just they don't want characters. You're not making choice either. You know, a lot of the times when you're talking to people, it'll be like, hey, there's that settlement over there.
Yeah.
They have a nuke there. You could do me a huge favor and go set that off, put a timer on it, set it off, and just get rid of that settlement. Or you could go be like, I'm not going to do that, man. I'm going to go work for them and have that settlement come to his location and take them down. Yeah. You don't have any of that choice in this game.
Dang. All right. So in your 3 hours, you didn't drop a nuke, did you?
Yes.
All right. Tell me about that.
So... yeah, one of the this is end game content though. You're not going to see this around launch.
Yeah, I was going to say this isn't going to be like three. My 3 hours in is not going to be the same. My first 3 hours aren't going to be the same as your 3 hours in Fallout 76.
So when you leave Fallout or from when you leave Vault 76, you are given a quest from the Overseer. This is the first person to leave your vault, and she's kind of leading you along through West Virginia. You get different quests from her. That all culminates at the end with you getting a nuke. That's one way to get them. You can also find different key codes for specific nuke locations in the world.
Hmm.
If you assemble all of them, that could be collectively as a team.
Oh, okay.
You can launch a nuke.
Okay.
When you launch a nuke, you pick a spot on the map, and this is a considerable explosion that happens.
Like
you launch the rocket, and it detonates. The big mushroom cloud comes up. You see like wind and debris go flying. That area becomes irradiated. And you need to have the gear to be able to go in there. And when that happens, the life in there mutates and becomes more aggressive.
Okay.
But the benefit to that is they drop the best loot in the game.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of your end game content, at least a piece of it, in that you're going to drop these nukes in specific areas to get specific gear.
And I could drop it anywhere, right?
So you can. So, but here's a problem. Let's say you're just starting out, Church, and you're level 5. You got the game for Christmas, so...
people have been had at this thing for 6 weeks.
And you get a quest to go, let's say, to the, I don't know, the raspberry orchard or something. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go over there. And all of a sudden, a nuke lands on it. You have to wait 3 hours before you could go in there. So you got to just basically shut down that quest, go do other stuff until that radiation leaves, because you won't have the gear at that point to get in there.
Now, the game wants me to build my own settlements, right? I'm going to have all these, just like in Fallout 4. They're going to want you to propel, you know, and build a settlement, maybe with other people.
Correct.
You know, full houses, stuff like that. And then here comes Reiner, and he nukes my city. After I've poured my heart and soul into this thing for a month.
That can happen.
Building it up, and then you just nuke it off the map.
The nice design that they have in place is if your settlement gets destroyed, you have the blueprint for it.
Okay.
And you could just quickly reconstruct it if you have the supplies.
But what are the odds I'm going to have all the supplies?
Like wood and bolts and all that
stuff. Well, yeah.
But you could just, that blueprint, you could pick up your base at any point or your settlement at any point and move it wherever you want.
All right.
So if you leave the game.
If I have a whole settlement's worth of supplies.
Right.
And if I've been working on this thing for a month, I don't have a month's worth of supplies on me as a backup, I don't think.
Yeah, so you could, you know, all your farm fields, all that stuff, with a click of a button, you could just pick it up. And if someone's attacking it, you could do that too. Just pick it up and it'll just vanish.
All right.
So the griefing isn't too bad, but so there is PvP.
Yeah, there is PvP.
If I see you in the world.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We'll need to take a break.
Sure.
I do want to talk to, we've got Matt on hold. He'd like to talk about Red Dead 2. And I think he's going to support my conclusion that it's going to be one of the best-selling games of all time. And then I want to get back to Fallout 76 as well. We also want to talk Call of Duty. We haven't talked Call of Duty yet because it happened to come out. We didn't have a show. We haven't had a chance to catch up on Call of Duty at all.
Sure.
I would love to take a call from, or series of calls from people that are playing Black Ops 4. Do you love zombie mode? Do you love Blackout? Do you love multiplayer or not? We'd love to hear from you on that as well. It's Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Oh.
Welcome back to the show. It's Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchi and Reiner with you as well. Reiner spent 3 hours playing Fallout 76 a couple weeks ago. We didn't have a show last week. No show next week either. But we're back the week after that. And so we're getting some of your initial thoughts on that. Before we get back to it, though, I'd like to take Matt's call on our prior topic of Red Dead 2. Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, I was kind of wanting to talk about Red Dead and all the, you know, the game world it has. And then I kind of been reading up on it. They've got, like, different kind of horses and weapons and a lot of the stuff from the previous Red Dead series. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Is there a part of it in particular you'd like to talk about?
Well, a little bit like the online aspect. Is it going to be kind of like Grand Theft Online, like that, where you get gangs and stuff like that?
I would imagine so. They haven't revealed any details yet. I know it's coming in November, the beta.
Right. The online's not it's not part of the launch.
No. So they want you to play through the single player game, which I love. I think that's great that they stagger the release like that, just like Grand Theft Auto 5. But yeah, we don't know exactly what's going to be a part of that. I think you're probably hitting the nail on the head in terms of like how you're going to interact with other people. You're probably putting together your own gang, because the single player game is about a gang, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I bet they kind of hone in on that survival aspect.
You know, could they have gang on gang warfare?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the multiplayer.
Yeah. I bet there will be.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Potentially.
To answer your question earlier about Black Ops 4, I bought it and I played it for, you know, a couple hours, and I'm kind of torn between that and the World War II, but I kind of don't like the character preferences you have to pick every time you start a level. Like a multiplayer online.
So it's like Overwatch where you have defined classes.
Yeah.
They're trying to change it up a little bit. I kind of like that element. Yeah. But I've been spending all my time playing Blackout, which is their version of Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm. You and everybody else, it sounds like. Matt, have you played Blackout?
That one where you get dropped out of a plane and then I think I played it one time, but I kind of enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I think that one's got the most appeal for a lot of people. I'm going to throw you on hold. I have no idea what our giveaway situation is, but if we've got anything, you can pick that up. I want to get back to Fallout 76. Nick's on hold to talk Black Ops Call of Duty. We'll get back to him in just a minute on that. I was always a big fan. Part of the reason I always loved the prior Fallout games, Reiner, was I can stop the action whenever I want. Strategize with VATS. VATS allowed me to sort of pick a location on the body where I wanted to shoot, and I might have a lower chance if I was aiming for your gun, the arm that you've got your gun in. I'd have a lower chance then of hitting you there than in the chest. But if that was important to me, then I could do that. And I don't see how VATS can work or work well when I can't pause the game.
Yeah, so VATS was a stroke of genius on Bethesda's part in that it also allowed people that weren't great at shooters to have an option, a way to still be competitive in those games. Right?
That's a great point. Yeah, there's no reflex involved when you use VATS.
Yeah, and it's almost like kind of turn-based combat at that point, where you're just pausing the action, seeing what your percentage is for a hit or miss,
right,
and you take the shot. VATS is back in that, yes, it still targets limbs and magically makes bullets move that direction. You know, mm-hmm. It's a dice roll at that point.
Yeah.
But it doesn't pause the game anymore, since you are
in real time
connected world with other players. Yeah. So you can't just have their game pause for whatever reason. So that makes VATS really difficult to use. It's more
no Twitch. Chance. I'm in the middle of a gun, you know, a live real time gunfight. I'm going to try to do VATS in the middle of that? No way.
It's very Twitch timing based. It might be even more complex sometimes than just lining up a regular headshot, because you're flicking the analog stick up to get to the head, where you could just kind of gradually move the reticle down. But it does work fairly well against slower moving targets. And I didn't get any sniper rifles in my playthrough, but I could see that working from afar.
Sure.
But in terms of crowd control or fast moving enemies, it's no longer reliable.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm going to miss VATS.
And remember all those flying insects and stuff like that?
Yeah,
where you
tons.
Just immediately turn on VATS just because they were so hard to hit. They're back. Like big mosquitoes.
Okay.
You know, they want to suck all the blood out of your body.
Yes.
But, and the Mothman's out there apparently. But VATS, I tried using it. It's just like buzzing all over the place. And I was just better off just rattling off clips, you know, of ammo to make contact.
All right. Before the break, we were talking about how you're going to handle griefing all these other people that are in my world, and they can just come down and mow me down whenever they want. How do they handle griefing, and did you get to experience any grief during your 3 hours on?
not as much as I wanted to. But Fallout 76, I think there's this is another smart design on their point where they don't want people griefing each other. They don't want this to be a PvP world where you're always fearful for your life.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the worry for a lot of us.
So basically, let's say I'm a level 64 player in charge, you're level 5, and I see you wandering around. Yes, I could start shooting at you.
Yep.
But I'm going to do minimal damage. It's just going to be like, seriously, like just, you know, it's just going to be like a bug biting at you. It's not going to do much damage to you. At that point, you could fast travel away or run away or just ignore me. I could keep shooting at you and eventually kill you. Okay. It'll take a long time.
Yeah.
But I cannot just, even at this high level, just mow you down and take your stuff.
All right, good.
But if you turn around and you're angry, then
I shoot back.
Then
now it's game on.
Ticked away at your health. Yeah. That enables full-on PvP. They do some leveling in terms of trying to make it more of an even conflict. But 64 to level 5,
it's going
to
be a
one shot,
bath.
You're going to go down.
Yeah.
At that point, you die, and your penalty is you lose junk. And junk in the game is what we talked about for building a camp. Wood, bolts, you know, different things you're picking up, supplies that you can turn into something else.
Yeah.
That is considered junk.
Junk.
You can go back to the point of your death and go reclaim that. But the player that killed you could take
they
that.
Can they get it at the point of my death instead? Or, I mean...
Yeah, they could just take it
just
and go.
Just take it, right. Okay.
You
right.
could get revenge. It does bring up a option. It highlights the target on your map, like, go get revenge. But in that instance, level 64 to 5, you're better off just saying, I lost my junk, and continue on your way. So you could do huge team battles, you know, 4-on-4, your team, it sizes 4.
Yeah.
You could even have other players come into that fray. They do have big events, kind of like MMOs. Where there's
some big instanced event.
Based on a timer. Yeah, okay. It appears in the world. There's a big boss. You all team up to take it down. They turn off friendly fire at that point.
Do I really, at the end of the day, do I really want to play Fallout 76 with friends? And it's, I mean,
I
know, at the end of the day, it's really a co-op game?
Yes, I had fun in that capacity, but just think about all the online games you play and you just have fun with friends, right? Like, that's just a big part of online gaming. It's just chilling out, hanging out, communicating about life with your friends as you're doing something fun. I don't know if that carrot, the in-game carrot of questing and leveling up is enough to pull me forward. Like, Borderlands was brilliant in that way. Like, you're always getting new guns.
Yeah.
The quests were interesting. You knew what the world was because everybody's listening to a mission giver. You don't have that in Fallout. It's a very solitary experience, even with friends with you. We'll see. 3 hours, again, wasn't enough time for me to figure that out. If this is a game I want to continue on and get to those high levels, I do want to see what it's like to go in those irradiated zones. That's a bit of a hook.
Yeah.
A bit of one. I don't know if it's worth like 100 hours to get there. But we'll see. You know, the beta is going on now. I'm going to jump in that.
I'm streaming it on Twitch right now in the background.
Oh, yeah. How's it looking? Is it holding up?
Well, it's the guy that I'm watching, because I just picked somebody randomly. It's the middle of night and I can barely see anything that's going on. So frankly, I don't know.
He's going to turn on his flashlight.
Well, that would be helpful. If he wouldn't be too much trouble, turn on your damn flashlight. All right. So you're sharing a lot of my concerns on Fallout 76. For me, I've heard enough where no chance I'm buying it on day one, which I've never said about a Fallout game ever before. I'm absolutely going to take a wait and see, learn more about it, hear more from people like you, read reviews. I'm nervous.
Yeah,
it's going to be close.
It's interesting because the year 2018 began with God of War taking a real chance in changing up its identity.
Yeah.
Even its mythology. Like, you never see a game change that much. And now the year is ending with Fallout doing the same thing. Like, they're taking a real risk in changing up the dynamic from single player to multiplayer. Will it pay off? It did for God of War.
Yeah, but
we'll see.
This is a whole different deal.
A month from now, we'll know for sure. So yeah. I would put everybody into the hold your breath and wait camp. Seriously, just wait for more people to investigate it and play it and see what's going on with the questing and all that, because it is a much different Fallout experience.
We have a couple of people that want to talk Call of Duty Black Ops 4, but I'm up against a break. So, Brad and Nick, I hope you'll continue to hold. We also want to try to get to Spider-Man's new DLC.
Yes.
Out today, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's called The Heist. We'll talk about that a little bit. Thronebreaker, a brand new game in the Witcher series that you probably had no idea was coming, and it's out today. And we'll talk about that as well. If you love the Witcher universe, you'll want to hear about Thronebreaker when we come back.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show, Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchi and Reiner with you as well. Promise to talk a little Call of Duty here. Let's check in with
Blackout.
I think Nick has been holding for a long time. Yes, this is Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? First-time caller here.
Oh, good. Thank you for calling in and making this your first show. I love it.
Yeah, well, me and my buddies, we love playing Black Ops 4. I remember I got Black Ops 1 back when I was in 6th grade or 7th grade for the Wii.
Wow.
And I loved the maps so much, and the fact that they brought them back on this one, it was awesome. And the fact that they didn't change anything either was pretty cool, too.
Yeah, didn't upgrade the graphics from the Wii. That was the amazing part, yeah.
Still got to use the Wiimote.
Yeah, got to use the Wiimote, right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I had the nunchuck and everything, yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Blackout, it's sweet. I have PUBG and I have Fortnite. You know, I got into both of them a little bit, but I think this one is better than both of them. You can get in all sorts of vehicles, and the graphics are great in it, and all my friends love playing it together. We have a blast doing it, too.
I 100% agree with you, and I think the difference maker for me in the Battle Royale genre is the controls. Like, Call of Duty's...
It's so tight, right?
Targeting and movement, and it just feels so good. And the weapons, I mean, they all kick like mules.
Mm.
It's just a big difference maker compared to Fortnite and PUBG. And for them to make that map and have it be kind of a tribute to all the Call of Duties before it, you have Nuketown, you have all those places there, even zombies in the map itself.
Yeah.
I think it's super fun, and it's just the right size to always have engaging combat. And there isn't a lot of downtime as you're waiting for the circles to constrict. I just think it's brilliant. We play it every night now.
And question for you about multiplayer. I like the fact that you can. I know Matt said you didn't really like, you know, changing all the characters every time, but mm-hmm. I think it's nice you can change it to your situation or the map. You know, you got the guy, I forgot who he is, but you lay the barbed wire out, you put the shield up.
Right.
You know, it's awesome. I think that's the fact that you can change everything. And then in Blackout, you can pick Woods and Mason and all the old guys, you know, and get them all back again.
Getting the team back.
Yeah, like I said, it's such a nice tribute to the series.
Nick, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your input on that. Call of Duty 4. Let's talk to Brad. Hi, Brad. Oh, and Brad, I just lost Brad. I did not hang up on Brad.
It sounds like you did.
I didn't. I didn't.
I think Call of Duty Black Ops 4 made $500 million in 3 days. Was that the number?
Jeez, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, this series has been around for over a decade. People complain well about over. It left and right.
But yeah, they do. And yet,
it's still
look
a
at this.
Monster.
It is still a monster. This is the best reviewed Call of Duty since...
Black Ops 3?
I don't know. Maybe Black Ops 3 or maybe Modern Warfare 2.
I mean,
the reviews have been very, very favorable.
It is the one I've enjoyed the most since Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of what we're hearing. Spider-Man's first DLC, The Heist, is out today. Now, as a little backdrop to this, Spider-Man is now the best. I think I read this to you on the break. I think it's the most profitable PlayStation exclusive Sony has ever put out across any of their PlayStation platforms.
For 24 years, something for,
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, the 24 years of PlayStation, this is, Spider-Man is the best-selling or most profitable of them all.
It is a juggernaut.
It is.
The new DLC is out today. It is part one of three.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Heist. We're going to get part two in November and then the final act in December.
Which, by the way, I love that all the DLC is out within basically a month, and a month. And so it's all out within about 4 months of the game coming out. you know, there's a lot of DLC that hits 6 months later and 8 months later. And at that point, honestly, how many games are you going back and playing?
Yeah, and a lot of times DLC, you don't know what you're getting from it. It could be a side chapter, lower graphical quality. They don't put in the same production values for storytelling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is the full Spider-Man experience. The heist is also surprises in that it is a direct continuation of the main story.
At the end, though, right?
Yeah, after post-credit, there are post-credit sequences that are shocking and that people made people count the days for the sequel, right?
Wow,
like, they're just like, I can't wait to see what they do with these characters.
Wow.
This game just goes right into that
stuff. Picks up right from that, all right.
And starts exploring that stuff. So it feels like the opening act of a Spider-Man 2, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And it is a also serves as a self-contained story that pits Spider-Man against Black Cat.
Is Black Cat in Spider-Man?
She is in it in voice only.
Oh, okay.
So you do some side missions for her, and but you finally get to see her.
Wait, side missions for her?
Yeah. She has some things that she's up to in the main campaign.
All right.
Where you're kind of tracking her movements and
she
stuff
like
that.
She is a supervillain, right?
She is both.
All right. So she's just
very much like Catwoman, right? Like sometimes she's an ally, sometimes she's not.
Okay.
Very much the same kind of character type. But her story is very interesting in how it intersects with Peter Parker's.
Mm.
There's some stuff they discuss in this that you're just like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Because this Spider-Man story is its own universe, right? Like they are telling their own. It's not based on the movies or the comics. So they can just make up
do whatever they want.
And they do that in a big way here.
Oh, yeah. When Black Cat murders MJ, shocking.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, very, very shocking. Yeah, then drinks blood out of her skull,
I know that.
Yeah, I mean, who'd have guessed?
It's too dark.
Oh, very dark. Yeah. So total amount of new content in the heist, the first content for DLC, how much?
I said 2 to 3 hours. People are saying maybe more 2 to 4, depending on how you approach it.
Yeah.
So that's significant. And it's part one of three. So it ends with a to be continued.
Okay. And then it's going to lead into
think about that, though. Like, you're getting 6 to 12-ish hours of content for all three of these DLCs for this game. So, you know, if you hold off on it and just wait for all three, you have another campaign to go through.
But important to note, this all is content you'll want to play at the end.
Yeah,
after you finish the base game.
Yeah, do not go into it until finish it.
The Witcher series has an offshoot game called Thronebreaker that came out today. This is not Witcher 4, tragically.
No.
That would be really cool.
It is nothing
and
like
very
Witcher.
Surprising. This is a... Oh boy! This is the card. It's the Gwent
card game.
It's based on Gwent, but they've layered all of this narrative on top of it.
Yes.
So what it looks like to me, Reiner, is if you played like Hearthstone, but it had real story being laid on top of it, and then the card game you play, the cards reflect the story, and so it's not just playing a card game. The card game feels like an extension of the narrative.
Yeah, so it is a 40-hour campaign.
Yeah.
The gameplay, you will be walking over an overworld. It's like an isometric view, traveling different locations.
By the way, beautiful.
There are RPG elements, and you're leveling up cards. So the cards are not just static things that you collect.
Yeah.
They actually have a function to them that you get to upgrade them, which is very cool. But it isn't about... Geralt, he's in it. Geralt. It follows a very different story, a different character, but it does flesh out that universe more, which is very cool. And man, CD Projekt, they just want your time.
Like I said, this
is no game they make is small.
How about
even
that?
A collectible card game? It has a 40-hour story, which is bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it sounds cool. It is only on PC at the moment.
Yeah, it's only on PC right now. Coming for consoles, Thronebreaker coming for consoles in December.
Yeah. So if you want that, might be a good game for the holidays. But you'll have to wait.
The early reviews that are out for Thronebreaker, excellent. Excellent early reviews. I think the open critic number on it right now is 90 or close to 90.
We held off on doing the review because we heard there was some balancing that was going on prior to release. And we're like, well, card games are all about balance.
Right. Yeah.
That can make or break it. So we waited until they got that patch in there.
Speaking of Witcher and Geralt? Now I don't remember.
It's in my head now. I got it wrong, too.
And now I messed up. He makes an appearance in Soul Calibur 6.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere you want to be. You guys reviewed it. I think it came out today, I believe. Reviewed an 8.75 out of 10.
That's a great series.
It is a great series. It's fun. It's easy. It's pick up and play. Fighter is the thing I know the least. It's the genre that I play the least. No interest in it personally. So I need your help on this. My understanding is Soul Calibur is, it's pick up and play easier. It's arcade button mashing fighter.
There's
right?
stories for all the characters. You know, this build up from Tekken to Virtua Fighter, like Mortal Kombat, mm-hmm. that structure of a game. The big hook they have is you could create your own character.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty deep system. And people have been making crazy stuff with it. I saw fun. Pikachu.
Oh, fun.
A very mannish version of Pikachu, like a bad cosplayer.
Okay.
But he's all yellow with the ears. It looks great. So that's a big hook to it. But the combat is just really silky smooth.
Mm.
A lot of depth to it. It's a good competitive game, especially if you're playing it in like a dorm or something like that, where you got a lot of people around to play.
Soul Calibur, the new Soul Calibur, Soul Calibur 6, it's got story modes built into it.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah. You go through... Yeah, there's a little bit of a campaign, but there is also like different endings for each character and all that stuff.
Oh, I like that. All right. So, reviewed well. If you're into fighters, I'm not. I don't know much about it. If you are, I encourage you to check out the full review at GameInformer.com. On the cover of Game Informer, Media Molecule's forthcoming game, Dreams.
Yes.
I don't know anything even about this. Can you help me understand what Dreams is all about?
Yeah, so Media Molecule is the company that made Little Big Planet.
Yeah, and Tearaway.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Tearaway. Best game on the Vita.
So Little Big Planet was a game that allowed you to make your own game, basically. You could build your own levels using very sophisticated tools. You're putting down, you know, platforms to jump across and working gadgets and all that stuff. Dreams is like the evolution of that, in that they want to give you the full suite of developer tools, but make it easy enough for anyone to be able to build their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the name Dreams is very much what it is. Like, you are making dreamscapes in this game.
Yeah.
And they're all interconnected. There's a mode you can go into where, let's say I make one and you make one.
Okay.
They can flow seamlessly into
really?
Each other. So we could be... You could kind of go on this endless run through different players' creations.
It's not side-scrolling anymore? Are we now...
You could do that. You
okay.
could make a first-person shooter. You
what?
Could make a racing game. You could just use it to make music.
So really, Dreams is just a platform.
It is a platform, but there is a campaign that Media Molecule made.
I bet they've made something to show off what it can do.
That has like three very different distinct styles that you're going to go through.
Okay.
One is kind of a cool jazzy New Orleans type of world. Another one's your traditional platformer like Tearaway. And then another you're playing as a robot, I believe. But all that is sewn together in one kind of meaty campaign that will kind of teach you about the game, reward you with stuff that you can use, you know, new elements to build your own worlds.
Oh, so they don't give me like every possible thing
Not
I can
right away.
Put in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They
All
want
right.
they encourage you to play through the game to learn about it a little bit.
Interesting.
But it looks awesome and it's just fun to just mess around with the tools and try to make stuff.
All right.
It's kind of like playing with like sculpting with clay to a degree.
I bet.
Elements of it. Just how you kind of paint and cut away at objects to make your own. It's very neat.
There's part of me that says you know, like for something like Dreams, that's mostly just this platform for other people to build on. I'm like, I don't have that kind of time. I'm not gonna go build some elaborate thing. But you know what? People do.
Oh yeah,
and they go bonkers and they build amazing stuff. This is gonna be PS4 only, I assume.
Yep, it's a Sony published game.
Yep, and so you'll need to put together your world on your PlayStation. A lot of times those things are easier with a mouse and a keyboard and everything else, but...
I mean, it does require a degree of talent if you want to make something truly stunning, but I believe you could share stuff with the community, so someone else might be able to make a piano that you want to add to your world.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that all functions when it comes out next year.
Last thing I want to mention, very briefly, Dark Souls is now out for the Switch, the remastered Dark Souls. Looking at some of the early reviews, it sounds like it's really good.
It's playable on Switch.
Yeah, that's it, right? What we're going for. It's playable.
It's not... quite as good as the other versions, but it is functional enough that you could play it on the go, which is great.
That counts for a ton. Thanks, Reiner.
Absolutely.
2 weeks from now, Red Dead. We might do the whole show on Red Dead.
We might have to.
We might do a whole show on Red Dead 2 when we are back in 2 weeks. We'll talk to you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
From the Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center, here's a look at your roadways. Headed west on 94, just north of County Road 19, there's a crash in the left lane. Also west on 94, at a Radio Drive, there's an accident in the right turning lane. Now, the southbound side of 35W, stop and go from Lexington Avenue on down to Lake Drive, there's a fender bender off onto the shoulder. Still seeing some pretty hefty delays on the westbound side of 494, slowing and going from 12th Avenue on over to 35W. That's traffic on the Fan, sponsored by DEA TakeBack.com.
Your unused prescription drugs could end up misused or stolen. Keep them safe. Clean them out. Take them back. At DEA's National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 27th. Find a collection site at DEATakeback.com.